And so that if Pastor Blaze ever couldn't go somewhere, or Pastor Blaze ever couldn't do something, well, all Pastor Blaze would have to do is get on the phone and make a phone call to any member of Bethany Baptist Church and say, look, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I know that you can go because you have a spiritual team that I've been trying to pass down.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best.
His concern for, as a son, for the Philippians originated from two sources. Timothy had concern as a son because he had the heart of the father. And who was his father? Who was his spiritual father? Paul. Timothy was like-minded. From the Greek, the word is ipsukos, isos, which means equal, and suke, which means soul or mind. It means to be of one soul or mind, thus to have a heart for the same things. As you read the epistle to the Philippians, it's clear to see that Paul had a heart of concern for the people of this church. And he was confident that when Timothy showed up, he would have the same heart and soul. Paul loved these folk. You know, you read through the rest of the New Testament. You need to take Deacon Boston's survey course, New Testament survey. One of the things that you will find out is that just about all the epistles, Paul had a negative condemning message to a lot of people as he wrote those epistles. In the Galatians, he rebuked them. The people in the church of Colossae, you know, they were dealing with some issues. Oh my goodness, let's not even think about the church at Corinth and all the issues that they had. So Paul, this is one letter where you find very few criticisms and you find very few rebukes coming from the apostle because they had it together and they were trying to do things the right way. And Paul loved this church. And Paul was concerned about him. And Paul said, the only way that I'm going to make sure that I understand the nature of the church and what's going on at the church is that if I send somebody like-minded, if I send my son, Timothy, I really want to know what's going on. If somebody had to entrust you to find out how things were going, would you have the same mind? And would you be that like-minded individual that they would feel comfortable in sending you to say, I know I can trust this person right here. Because it's going to be just like if I were there myself. Paul said, I have no one like-minded. But that's only a part of it. The interesting and the most powerful thing is what he says in the second part of that verse. He says, who will naturally care for your state. This word naturally actually referred to an instinctive feeling coming from a parent. That if you look at Pastor Glaze's children, there's some genes that have been passed off from Pastor Glaze to his children. And you can look at my kids and see some of those genes that have been passed on. Now, if one of my kids would have came out with blonde hair and blue eyes, then I might have said, that's not my DNA. That's some, you know, I've got some reason to doubt whether the genes were passed on. But I know my wife. And what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying that
Timothy has received my spiritual genes. The word naturally, that word naturally, something that's passed on spiritually in the DNA from one person to another. Timothy was his son. And
Paul, no doubt in jail, he would sit there and he would talk to Timothy. And if they were talking today, Paul might have been saying to Timothy, yo, T-Dog, what up, man? Them people in the pie, they're off the hook, bro. You know, even when I was in Philippi and the popo put me in the jail, passing on. Every day he was passing that DNA on. He was passing those genes on to Timothy. And Timothy became his son, his spiritual son. And so when he got ready to send somebody to the church at Philippi, he could send Timothy because he had been placing that spiritual genetic into him. And I want to say that I would to God that as I stand here Sunday after Sunday and preach, that somehow from the word of God, that some spiritual genes are being passed on to each and every person that's here. And that when you walk away from here, that you would be able to say that Pastor Glaze is my spiritual father. That Pastor Glaze is passing on. He's passing on spiritual genes down to me. And so that if Pastor Glaze ever couldn't go somewhere, or Pastor Glaze ever couldn't do something, that all Pastor Glaze would have to do is get on the phone and make a phone call to any member of Bethany Baptist Church and say, look, I can't do this, I can't do that, but I know that you can go because you have the spiritual genes that I've been trying to pass down to you. He said, Timothy has it. You know, one of the things that I realize is that the church takes on the character of the pastor. And I stand here, and I tell you that I'm not God. I got faults. Just ask my wife. I got faults. I got issues that I got to deal with. So I don't stand here as one that proclaims perfection. I never did. Never have. I'll tell you right now, I've said this before, and let me make this statement again. If Pastor Glaze says anything that you said, see, that don't line up with the word, feel free to call, make an appointment, bring your Bible, your commentaries, your study notes, and we'll sit down and talk about it. Well, I'm not perfect, and I'm giving you that opportunity because I know there's some that would say that I'm trying to dictate or try. You know what? I've never tried to do that. And I've always said that if I say something that's not lined up with the word, you feel free to come and point it out to me. And I'll humble myself if I'm wrong. Might be hard, but I'll humble myself. And so I would trust and pray that every Sunday that spiritual DNA is being given from this pulpit, that it would unite and be received in the hearts and souls of the people that are sitting out there. And that you would be a son, not only of Pastor Glaze, but you would be a son of God, because he's the most important one. But I was saying that I realized that oftentimes the church takes on the character of the pastor. I know pastors that are praise and worship guys, and that's what their church, their whole church is based on, praise and worship. I know pastors that are heavy into administration, and that's the identity of their church, organized and administrative. I'm a teacher. That's my thing. That's what God has gifted me with. And I would to God, and I pray that whenever I see somebody living out the word of God in obedience to the word of God, that I would say, hey, that's my son. That's my daughter right there. They've gotten the spiritual DNA. They've received it, and they're living with it. Last Monday night, to see all this talking, preaching about love and harmony and unity, and to see the church come together in love and harmony and unity, I was able to look and say, those are my children. Those are my sons. Those are my daughters. Because that's what this thing is all about. It's not about hate. It's not about revenge. It's about love. And to see the spiritual DNA being received and lived out. Man, God is glorified. And in this, we do rejoice. Paul said, I know that I'm going to send Timothy. And the thing that I know about Timothy is that it would be just like if I myself were there. Man, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I know somebody who's caught the vision. I know somebody that's received the word and they're able to go even when I can't go. There's people that I can call in this church. If I can't do this or I can't do that, I can call them and I can trust them because I know their DNA. I know their DNA. I can send them out there. And Timothy also had the heart of the master. Look at verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Timothy didn't seek the things of his own, but Timothy sought the things of Jesus Christ. I was listening to David Jeremiah. You know, one of the things, you know, when I study, I read about 10 commentaries, and I try to read about 3 sermons and listen to a sermon. And one of the sermons that I listened to in preparation for this was David Jeremiah. And David Jeremiah pointed something out. And he said, I'm not one for, you know, like if a chapter and verse lines up in one chapter with another chapter and verse, I'm not one to put much stock in that. But he brought out a very interesting point. He asked the people, which chapter of Philippians are you in? There's Philippians 1:21. Let's turn there. Philippians 1:21. And that says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And there's Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Which chapter are you in? Are you in 1:21? Or are you in 2:21? Are you saying for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Or are you in 2:21, where everybody's seeking their own things and not the things of Christ? Timothy was a son, not only a son of Paul, but he was a son of Jesus Christ. We see Timothy, we see Paul, the sacrifice, we see Timothy, the son, and then finally we see Epaphroditus, who was the soldier. Look what he says in chapter 2, in verse 25. Yet I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my need. Epaphroditus, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, you will see that the Philippians sent Paul an offering, and the person that they sent the offering with was Epaphroditus. In verse 18, Paul says, for I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a savior, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That Epaphroditus came and brought this offering from the Philippians to Paul. Now, Epaphroditus didn't go right back. Epaphroditus stayed there, and he ministered to Paul in that prison. And as we think about Epaphroditus, the soldier, there's 4 things, and I'll move through them real quick. 4 things that I want to say about the soldier. First of all, soldiers are in the battle. Soldiers are in the battle. Now, when the Philippian church got ready to send an offering to Paul, who did they pick? They picked Epaphroditus. Why? Because they knew that he had a heart of concern. He knew that the Philippians saw the concern of Epaphroditus, and they knew that he had a heart for Paul. And so they sent Epaphroditus to Paul. Would you be noticed as being a person with a heart of compassion and a heart of concern? That if we needed to send an offering to Brother Andre Cassell, and we needed someone from this congregation to go and take it, would we be able to pick any of our members and say, look, we're going to pay for you to go to Africa, to go to Kenya, and give this offering to Brother Andre because we know that you have a heart of care and concern? Wow. They picked Epaphroditus. A soldier is on the battlefield. We got to be on the battlefield of care and concern. We can't be like the 2 guys that watched the 3 guys that watched the lady drown. And we don't want to jump in the water because it's cold. We got to have a heart of care. We got to have a heart of concern. Man, right now my heart heart is heavy and my heart is grieved to think that there would be somebody in this church that would be so angry with me that they would write a letter. And you know what? I've been praying for that person. I don't know who it is, but I stand here in the sincerity of my heart and I say, whoever I love them, I'm concerned and I care. If you're sitting here today, I just want to say that I love you and I'm concerned about you and I care for you. I don't have time to go around with bitterness and anger in my heart. I don't have time to go around trying to seek revenge. There's too much work to be done in the kingdom of God. And how can I call myself a child of God if I don't have, man, I praise God for Sister Sheila Bronze. Praise God for her because she lets us know that when you get into the battle, this stuff can work. And I find out for myself that as I get into the battle, that this stuff can work. And I've just been stress-free. I mean, my heart is grieved, but I'm stress-free. How can I stand up here and preach that we need to have love and concern for everybody? And for me to go something and have anger and hatred in my heart. Epaphroditus was on the battlefield of care and compassion. Are you on the battlefield of care and compassion? The second thing we see is that soldiers are concerned about the welfare of others. Look what he says in verse 26. This just blows me away. For he longed after you. Well, look at verse 30 real quick. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death. The man was almost dead. Epaphroditus was almost dead because he was serving God. Look at verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he was sick. Wow. The brother was almost dead. He was sick unto death. And he was concerned about them because they was worried about him. Man, a soldier in this battle of care and compassion is concerned about the welfare of others. Is concerned about how people are dealing with what it is that they're going through. A soldier do you care enough to serve only the very best? Do you care enough to serve only the very best? He was concerned about them. The third thing that we see about a soldier in the battle of care and compassion is that soldiers serve their commander in chief. Look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death. Who was he serving? He was serving Christ. Who was Epaphroditus' commander in chief? Jesus Christ. What did Jesus Christ say? Yes. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. That's the commander's orders. That's the commander-in-chief. He says, have care and compassion for other people. And Epaphroditus, what did it say? Because for the work of Christ, he took orders from the commander in chief. The fourth thing that I want to say is that soldiers put their lives on the line. Soldiers, you know, sometimes when you step out and want to show that you care and put your hand of compassion out there, sometimes it might get chopped off. Sometimes it might get slapped. But soldiers in the army of care and compassion, look at verse 27. For indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only. Look at Paul. Now, this is the only place I think Paul got a little selfish. Only place. Because look what Paul says. Not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. What's Paul saying? Paul said, look, the brother was sick unto death. And what was he doing? He was ministering to me. He was ministering to me. And I would hate to see the brother die. You know, I have sorrow upon sorrow. The first sorrow is that the brother dead.
And the second sorrow is that I put him there.
So Paul says, look, man. Paul said, you know I was praying, man. You know I was praying that Epaphroditus got well. Come on, Lord, heal this brother up in here. Heal him, Lord. Paul said, look, he said, man, I'd have had sorrow on sorrow. And then look at verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. This was a bad brother, Epaphroditus. Man, one day I just need to do a message on Epaphroditus. Bad brother. And as I think about this brother right here, he cared. Here he was sick and he was caring and concerned about somebody else. Where's your level? How's your compassion and concern meter? As I close today, I want to read a story to you. Have you ever heard of Henry Dunant? Henry Dunant was born in 1828 in Switzerland. His parents were very wealthy. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He could have lived anywhere in his whole life that he wanted to, and he could have lived a life of laziness and luxury. Yet Dunant was a kind and caring man who visited the sick and helped those who were poor. Now, I want you to get this because I'm going somewhere now. I know y'all ready to check it in now. Just check it out. This is going somewhere. Tying into the message now. As a young man, he established an organization in Switzerland called the Young Men's Christian Union, which was designed to help teenage boys. When he became an adult, he went into business for himself and did very well. One day he had an appointment with Napoleon III, whose armies were at war in Italy. Dunant traveled to Italy to meet Napoleon, but on his way he passed the latest battlefield and saw the atrocities of war. He looked at bayonets and guns rusting in the mud. He saw the bodies of 40,000 soldiers, most of them dead, but some of them still alive. He heard their cries of agony and pain. Some were cursing as they breathed their last breath. Dunant couldn't turn away from that. He went to the nearest town and persuaded the townspeople to turn the church into a first aid station. He persuaded the citizens to help him as they took stretchers and went out to the battlefield and brought back the wounded. He worked side by side with doctors for 3 weeks. With almost no sleep, he ministered to the wounded and their needs. Dunant finally went home, but he couldn't forget what he had experienced. So he started to write nation after nation to all the influential people that he knew. Finally, one day in Geneva, Switzerland, to an international gathering, he presented a resolution that we know today as the Geneva Convention, signed by 22 nations. Granting immunity to doctors and nurses and ambulances so they could go onto the battlefield and bring back the wounded and dying without fear of being shot at. They adopted as their symbol the Red Cross upon a white background. Today, whenever there are floods, whenever there are tornadoes, whenever there is war, the Red Cross is there. All because he had a heart of concern. All because he had a heart of compassion for people that were wounded. Do you care enough?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Watch Out for Brand X Christianity. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, when you care enough to serve only the very best, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request When You Care Enough to Serve Only the Very Best. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request when you care enough to serve only the very best. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.